You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul and I'm here with one of my good friends. And this week we're attending the International LiDAR and Mapping Forum in Denver, Colorado. I'm here with Mr. Josh Baker. Josh, welcome to the show. Where are you from?
I'm from the Houston area.
Nice, nice. He is born and raised Texas, and as you know, everything is bigger in Texas, just like his beard. But we went to the LiDAR conference and actually came here because of you, thanks to Phoenix LiDAR. And I just want to ask, you know, what are some of the major takeaways from the LiDAR conference itself?
Just the fact that there is a lot more aerial LiDAR collection assets rather than terrestrial LiDAR collection assets.
So not many ground-based systems.
Correct.
Now, when you say aerial, do you mean you're seeing a lot of drones, or do you mean, you know, planes and helicopters?
It's actually a mixture of both, but there's about at least a third of the vendors had UASs at their booth.
Yeah, but one thing that struck me that I thought was really interesting is Josh and I attended a presentation, and they were discussing the plausibility of using aerial systems, but when they talked about aerial systems, they actually mentioned three distinct categories of aerial systems. Number one, using drones. Number two, using helicopters. And number three, using fixed-wing aircraft. Because it seems like, I mean, Josh, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it seems like there's a significant kind of restriction in using drones.
Yeah, the main restriction that I'm seeing is the requirements to stay within visual line of sight. And so that's the main hang-up in the UAS sector.
Because you can only map like a certain swath, right? Like let's say a quarter mile in every direction?
Yeah, I'd say that's about right.
And that raises a significant problem because, so you guys understand, when you're mapping with LiDAR, you only need to make one grid-like path. You don't have to make a cross-hatching path. You don't have to do oblique and orbital shots. It's really a much more simple system, which allows you to cover more ground. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here again, but aren't a lot of the contracts that are out for LiDAR covering larger swaths of land?
Yeah, the ones that I've seen has just been, I mean, large amounts of area. I mean, on the order of like 40,000 acres or so.
And there's probably like no way to really do that with photogrammetry with drones.
It would be way too much data.
Gotcha. Now, one other thing I thought was interesting with this whole beyond visual line of sight issue is that, you know, the FAA is asking for site-specific waivers to give you BVLOS. And the only BVLOS waiver that I've seen to come back successful was essentially a BVLOS waiver that said, you can fly beyond visual line of sight, but you're going to have multiple visual observers along the flight path itself. So you would essentially daisy chain visual observers. Is that something that is plausible in drone operations with LiDAR?
That would be really hard to pull off. I mean, you'd have to have multiple radios. You'd have to have a big team. And still, with that, you're still limited, I mean, how far you could do that.
True, true. Well, not only that, I mean, let's say we want to do 40,000 acres and they want site-specific, and let's say we're mapping the coastline for erosion and we get this waiver to be site-specific for, say, 10 miles. I mean, is it really feasible to wait another 90 to 144 days to just move up another 10 miles on the beach?
No, I mean, that would almost kill the whole project, I think.
Yeah, and I think it actually probably is killing the project at the moment. So I think that's one takeaway that we would like to see here is a little bit more flexibility in the beyond visual line of sight operations with the FAA. But what other takeaways did you see here, Josh?
Another thing I noticed was there's a lot of people that are not necessarily in the industry trying to figure out LiDAR. So I saw a lot of like software engineers, I saw other service providers, I saw a wide variety of backgrounds represented here.
Yeah, it was actually really interesting. I think a sticking point that I noticed too was that you saw a lot of vendors kind of focusing on the deliverables aspect of LiDAR because, you know, LiDAR creates these massive files.
Yes.
And it's almost impossible to view on a phone, a mobile device, or online. So you're seeing a lot of these guys, and you know, this is a similar problem with photogrammetry. You're seeing a lot of these guys try to come out with an internet deliverable, essentially, so that their clients can not only view these files, but take measurements and volumetric data, you know, from the subsets.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So another thing that I didn't notice at this conference is that at CES this year, there was a big kind of takeaway in the reduction of the cost of LiDAR. Now, LiDAR is a very expensive piece of equipment to use. I mean, we saw micro drones, we saw Pulse with the Vapor 55, beautiful bird. We're gonna end up flying that thing here pretty soon. But when we're looking at these drones, these fixed wing systems as well, I mean, what type of money, what type of price range are we looking at to even get into this type of business?
I mean, on the low end, you can start off at like, you know, $100,000. But with LiDAR, it's what you get what you pay for. And so, I mean, the higher end systems are going to, you know, start off about $225,000 or so.
And then, I mean, we saw systems that were upwards of $400,000.
Right. There's those systems out there too.
Which is really a huge barrier to entry for a lot of pilots, which is why I was really looking forward to seeing if we would see more on the advancement of LiDAR, the shrinking of systems, just like how we've seen camera sensors get larger and smaller bodies. I think we're expecting to see the same thing with LiDAR. And the way that we get to that essential advancement in technology is what's called MIMS LiDAR. So essentially what this means is right now LiDAR is essentially a laser that spins on a physical mechanism and it shoots out a pulse and gets multiple returns back to give us the information that we need. Now, one of the beautiful things about LiDAR is that you get your data instantaneously, whereas with photogrammetry, you're spending days, weeks processing maps, which is kind of a bear. Well, that being said, there's a new technology called MIMS, which is all about utilizing mirrors to essentially move the laser instead of having the laser physically spin itself, which would take the cost of a lot of these LiDAR units from $75,000 to $100,000 down to about $30,000, $35,000. And we didn't really see a lot of information on MIMS systems.
Right. Yeah, we were actually just told about a vendor that, you know, I didn't even see them, so I'm going to go back and check for them.
Yeah, no, I think it was really interesting. Something else that we did notice, too, is that there was this really hilarious presentation called Detoxing with Drones. You remember that?
Yeah.
And it was funny because he's creating this, almost comparison of photogrammetry, LiDAR.
And man solutions.
Yeah, and they were talking about different forms of LiDAR, the cheaper Velodyne Puck LiDAR versus larger systems versus photogrammetry. And it was funny because he starts out this whole presentation with, we got to detox from the hype here. We've got to talk about what's really possible. Because he was saying that a lot of people in photogrammetry are saying they're getting, you know, sub 1 centimeter, 2 centimeter accuracy,
right,
and that's not realistic. And he actually mentioned, and I think you've got a picture of, and I've got a picture of the comparison as well, he's saying that photogrammetry could get you accuracies of 1 to 3 centimeters, was that it?
Right.
And then he was saying, you know, with LiDAR, you could get 2 to 6 centimeters, but that in most cases, LiDAR was a better system. But when they showcased the photogrammetry examples,
the model, yeah,
they were crap.
Yeah, you could tell that they just did, you know, nadir flights over it, not really using any kind of advanced techniques.
Like oblique imagery, you know, orbital imagery. Yeah, it wasn't really like a fair comparison, would you say?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that. Yeah,
so I think one other thing that we did notice at the LiDAR mapping conference is that there really isn't a big push on utilizing photogrammetry. So it made it for an interesting comparison when the comparison really didn't provide valuable results at all.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to seeing how the conference would change in the future to showcase the real plausibility of photogrammetry in the area. I mean, Pix4D was here,
right.
SenseFly was here, showcasing their new bird, and I'm not going to say the name right, it's like the Albris or something. Remember, it had like a thermal sensor and a 30 megapixel camera for photogrammetry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was some sort of representation of photogrammetry. It just wasn't that big.
Right.
Yeah.
There was a bigger push for LiDAR.
Totally. Well, Josh, I just want to say thanks for coming on the show, man. Really
Definitely.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
If people want to find out more about your business, where would they go?
I got my website, which is txdroneimagery.com, or on Facebook.
Awesome. Also, I want to say a huge shout out and thank you to our friends at Phoenix LiDAR for letting us come to this event. Also, I want to say special thanks to Pulse, special thanks to Pix4D, Sensefly, and Micro Drones. Really appreciate it. And guys, that's going to do it for us today. Look out in the future for new classes from DroneU on utilizing these very specific types of birds. We're going to be offering training not only in our advanced photogrammetry series, which is pretty much already done. You have access to that now if you're a member, but we're going to be adding a new advanced mapping course on LiDAR and utilizing these LiDAR systems. So look out for that. It will be free to current DroneU members, so make sure to check that out. But that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul, and you're watching Ask DroneU.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the DroneU.